Good evening. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you, and we want to seek after you, learn what you have to say to us. We want to know what your heart is. Lord, I pray that you would direct this night, direct our ears, direct my mouth, Lord, that it would be an instrument of your Holy Spirit to speak your word, Lord. We love you and so grateful for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would start by using a visual image throughout tonight of a tree, and this tree represents your spiritual life. Starts as a seed, then as a growing plant, full grown, and then and finally as sprouting forth fruit. And as every tree and plant starts as a little seed, indeed your faith starts as a seed. If you look back in the Matthew, in the parable of the sower and the seed, you see the seed falling on different kinds of hearts, as it were, different kinds of soils. There's some the birds ate, some fell on stony places, some fell on thorns. But finally, some fell on good soil, and that's the heart willing to believe. And as you look through Scripture, and go to John 4, that's the story of Jesus with the woman that he met at the well. And you'll find in that story that your little spiritual seed took its first drink of water. Jesus says that he is the living water and the water that gives eternal life. And for the person who believes, that person, their seed, as it were, took its first drink and became alive with from the gospel, from Jesus Christ, taking into itself the true and living water. And then eventually, but the Lord promises that not only is Jesus simply water to the seed, but he is as a river flowing in abundance. So with that as our little base, I would like to talk tonight about how we as Christians, after having first taken that first drink, after having become alive because of Jesus and the work he has done, now our little spiritual tree should continue to grow, to take in that living water, and it should grow into a flourishing tree. What is the Lord's desire? That you should bear much fruit. And to study this thought, I'd like to turn to Psalms chapter 63. Starting in verse 1, this little simple verse will be the basis for most of what we talk about tonight, and it says this: O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh, it longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. For our little seedling plant, the first, now after it has taken its life into itself, the water, Jesus Christ, the first step to its starting to grow is recognizing the principle stated in the first phrase, God, you are my God. If we do not recognize the truth of the greatness, the power, the meekness, the love, and just the whole entirety of who God is, how can we hope to become more like Him, for our little spiritual tree to grow and flourish as it will? Because we cannot bear fruit except that we are part of Him. Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the great and powerful Savior that we have. That every enemy, every friend, every believer, every unbeliever, one day will bow at the name of Jesus. Revelation 22:13 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's a very big God. And Colossians 1:16 says, by him all things were created. If you look throughout Scripture, Christ and God as the Creator sets up his right or authority and is always used as this sign of his greatness, his authority over all the earth, and his right to rule over you and I. And I just have to say, glorify the Lord God, for he is great and he is wonderful. And I hope that for myself and for each of you, we can begin to understand and see a picture of that. That as we meditate on who the Lord is, he is so much bigger, so much more powerful, so much more wonderful than we could ever hope to imagine. And he is always surprising me. Any new thing I learn, I'm always taken by surprise of, wow, that's even better than I thought it was. You're even better than I thought you were. Exodus 34 states, in this case, God declares this of himself. Exodus 34, 5 through 7. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. What wonderful words that God declares even about himself. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. And one of my personal favorites, Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And if we do not choose willingly to give him the exaltation he is worth, one day we will indeed do it when we see more clearly, when we see the true greatness of our God. The second phrase in Psalm 63 continues the pattern of growth, starting with God and who he is, and then giving us a little bit of the pattern of how. Or when, rather, to seek him. It says, early will I seek you. Now that word early has a twofold meaning. One, it has the idea of young. Young in our lives. Ephesians 5, verse 16 says that we should be redeeming the time, for the days are evil, making good use, buying them back, as it were, any moment that we have. I was convicted lately, being a new father and being busy. And the Lord brought to my heart, you are busy with many things. But why should these things, as important as they are, come before me, the creator of the universe? I know every one of us is busy. Every one of us has demands on our time. But I believe that if we have demands on our time that, while being good in themselves, keep us from the Lord, then our emphasis is in the wrong place. Not that they should; these things can even always be taken from our life, or should even be taken from our life, but that they need to be put in the proper perspective. So we see that we should seek after the Lord now, early. 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17 talks about Timothy and how from a youth he knew the scriptures. Whether that youth would be a 5-year-old youth or a 18-year-old youth or a 50-year-old youth or a 90-year-old youth. The reality is that early for you and early for me is now. I will never be any younger than I am now, and it will never be any earlier than it is now. So to seek him early for me is to seek him now. Secondly, there is something to be said of seeking him in the morning. By no means a requirement. However, that priority of focus in your day of seeking him at the dawning of the day is something special, I will say. Tozer spoke of the morning hour and the joys and the specialness of taking time with the Lord first in our day. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me, and you will find me, when you search for me with your whole heart." In Psalms 1:2, says very familiar verse, says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Delight, joy, thrill is in the law of the Lord. And for us, we could rephrase that word law to almost say the word of the Lord. So we have that our little seedling plant, our spiritual plant, growing by knowing God, growing by seeking him early. And then we talk more about it by going into the third phrase, which says this: "My soul, it thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." The best illustration that stuck with me for all these years was given by John Gordon. And he gave the illustration of a man, very godly, and an example to this younger man who observed him. And one day at a reunion or banquet or something of that nature, they're out a farm, whatever the place was. The young man approached this gentleman and said, "How can I know the Lord like you know him?" The gentleman, having a rather interesting sense of humor, took him down to the pond and held his head underwater. 15 seconds, 30 seconds, the youth started sputtering and splashing and almost gasping for air if he could. When finally the gentleman brought his head up, the youth was fair out of breath and said, "Why? Why did you do that to me?" The man said, "When you want to know the Lord as much as you wanted that little breath of air, then you will know him like I know him." This psalm, in this psalm, David says that as we thirst the Lord, it's like we're in a desert land. I would put forth that this is rather ironic for us. Because what I see is that the reality is that we are starving of thirst, as it were, in an oasis. Yes, the world is a desert, a dry place where so many people turn from God and hate God. But we have the water right here. Not only did Jesus himself promise that he and the Holy Spirit are rivers of water inside of us, but we have the Holy Scriptures. We have the Word of God to us. Why would we be dying of thirst, as it were? Or why would we even be so thirsty and lacking water when we have this right in front of us? The psalm, the first in chapter 1 that we referred to earlier continues on to say, this man who delights in the law of the Lord, that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and seeking after the wisdom of the Lord and the word of the Lord. Throughout Proverbs is described as a valuable, immense treasure, silver, gold. And Matthew speaks of it as treasure in heaven. I want to know the Lord better. I want to seek after him and thirst after him, like King David did when he was being pursued by his enemies in a dry and weary land where there was no water. If we will seek after the Lord, if we will allow his Holy Spirit to work in our lives and through us, if we will delight in the law of the Lord, what was that promise? What will we be like? A tree. A tree by rivers of water. We will give forth fruit in our season, proper season. And that comes to our third point, that we will become that tree, and that through the work of Christ in our life, we will give forth fruit, bearing fruit in his season. John 15 says that if we abide in Christ, we will bear fruit, for without him, we can do nothing. If we, by some sense of self-righteousness or godliness, will just seek to do good works for our own self, that's not what it's talking about. That's not what brings about good fruit. Seeking after the Lord, submitting to the Lord, delighting in the Lord. And when we do these things, he causes us to grow, and he produces through us fruit. That living water, that fountain, that river that's flowing in us brings forth rich and abundant fruit. And as we close, I hope that the Lord has spoken to you as he has spoken to me. And I was hesitant in some ways to bring this message because so many times, even after I remember it, I forget. But we ought not to forget. We ought to keep on thirsting and keep on delighting in the Lord, because he is so good and he is so merciful and so kind. Father in heaven, bless you, bless your name, and may our lives reflect you. May our lives bring you glory and honor and praise. And we would seek that the rest of this night, the rest of this week, and henceforth, we would be yours completely. We would submit to you, that whether you have destined us to greatness or humble lowliness, Lord, that we would serve that role in a way that shows people you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.